on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Good to see you today. Are you glad to be in the house of God?
Yeah.
Happy Valentine's Day this week. Don't forget, there you go, husbands. You've been warned. It's good to see you. Hey, did you enjoy last Sunday's game?
No.
Was that just sad? That was just bad. I'm ready to pick the team that I want to win, though. A week later. But yeah, that's just, that was kind of sad at Super Bowl. I feel so bad for my team. Oh, and from the poll that we took last week, most of you should be frowning now. Don't act like you're, that was my team. You were lying. You weren't listening to who was. And now we have the Winter Olympics. Anybody into the Olympics? A few people? Summer Olympics?
Yeah.
A few of you. Don't even care what an Olympic is. What's that? It's good to have you with us today. Are you ready for the Word of God?
Yeah.
Come on, put your hands together. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Isaiah chapter 60. We've been doing a series called Code Orange. Orange is a bright and bold color that's not a primary color. It cannot be created on its own. It has to be a partnership of two colors to be created. It's also something that cannot fly under the radar. We've been talking about how God wants your life to stand out, for you to be a billboard of the goodness of God. Not that you have to be loud if you're a soft-spoken person. Not that you have to be soft-spoken if you're naturally a loud-talking person. God gave you that identity. Don't change that. But your life, Jesus put it this way, you're a light. You're a candle that's been lit. And we don't hide that. We let it be. We let it shine. And when we live a Christian life trying to fly under the radar, we don't really fly too long or too far, because the reality is what God is doing in us, he wants it to affect us in a way that other people can see that he is real. See, if all we do is just come to church, clock in, clock out, and go back, and we just agree to the middle consent that there is a God and Jesus died on the cross, and yeah, okay, I totally agree with that, and that's good enough for me. We just got God like a can on the shelf of life, and we bring him out ever so often when we need him in problems or when it's Sunday. You're going to miss out on what God has for you, because more than coming to church and praise God, you came to church. More than just knowing about God, but knowing him and having that real relationship. And when you have a real relationship with Jesus, to me, we see people get healed on a regular basis, but one of the greatest miracles, let us never forget, some of us have grown up in church, and that which is amazing can become common, and if we're not careful, irreverent toward it. One of the greatest miracles that we can see is someone accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior, coming from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, a brand new person, sins forgiven, eternity changing. Are you with me? There's something about that conversion experience. It's not about just knowing about God. The devil knows about God. When Jesus was on the earth, demons would cry, "We know who you are." Demons know about Jesus. But it's having a real relationship where he is Lord and Savior. And when he is your Lord and Savior and you have that relationship with him, the Bible tells us that he's giving you, Philippians tells us, the desire and the ability to do what pleases him. He's changing you from the inside out. He's working in you, causing you to be more like Christ, not look like Jesus on the outside. Come on, somebody say amen. But having the nature and the character of Jesus in your life, so that whatever stuff that you've gone through that would try to filter you and shape you and change you and forever impact you in a negative way, God can begin to work that stuff out of you. Amen. You look at some people and you say, "Man, why are you so mean?" And you hear the story and say, "Well, you have a right to be mean. I'd be mean too." But you don't have to stay there. God can work that out of you. God can, I don't trust anybody. Well, after what you've gone through, I can understand that. Logically, I see that. But spiritually, according to the Bible, you don't have to stay there. Because life has a way of throwing a bunch of junk at us and shaping us down. Romans 12 tells us not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed. The world and life and problems and pressures try to shape us. But you don't have to stay there. God can uproot that stuff, work that stuff out of you, where all of a sudden, things that would shake you and mess you up, all of a sudden you still have peace. Things that would cause you to hate somebody, you still respond now with mercy and love and generosity to people you don't even know. How is that changing? Because God's working in you. And the change of your life in the rhythm of life is a great billboard. It doesn't mean that every person you see you have to witness to. No. You should witness to somebody. You should invite somebody to church. But you can't, we say this on a regular basis, God never called you to reach everybody. You can't reach everybody. He has called you to reach somebody. And it's learning to find those somebodies. But in the influence, and the scripture says when Jesus talks about the candle, it says you don't hide it under a bed. No, you put it up on a stand so that everybody in the house can benefit. See, what God is doing in you, he wants to do through you so that not only you benefit, but those around you, those that are coming into your world, those who come into your influence, those who are impacted, people that you know, and people that may not even come up and say, tell me, they're just watching from afar. You're a light. You're to shine. You don't, if you're loud, stay loud. If you're quiet, stay quiet. But as a light, you're supposed to let the light shine so people see. If you never change, you've been saved for 40 years and you're still the same person after 40 years of walking with Jesus, I'm telling you, you might be missing out on some of the greatest things in your walk with God. I can quote scripture. Praise God, you can quote scripture, but you need more than just information. You need an impartation, a revelation that changes who you are. The Word of God should be working in us, teaching us, showing us, directing us, guiding us, transforming us. Again, Romans 12, 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And as we allow the Word of God and feed on the Word of God and live out this life, God wants you to be what he's called you to be, all that he's called you to be. All that he's called you to be. Did you hear me? Not just a little bit of what he called you to be, but all. He wants you to do all that he's called you to do. The Bible says that God has preordained good works for you to fulfill and to do them. God wants you to achieve all he wants you to achieve. He wants you to receive all that he wants you to receive, that he has purchased for you. You have to understand that when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, he cut a new covenant. And as a right of that covenant, there is an inheritance for the children of God. And all the children said, but if we're not careful, we have allowed, we in general, the church world, we've allowed the enemy to creep in. And the devil will tell you that you don't deserve it. That's being selfish. For you to want that, that's greed. Let me tell you what greed is. Greed is wanting what doesn't belong to you. See, when you get to heaven, I want your heavenly Father to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen to that. But I also want him to say, here's all the stuff I purchased that was available to you. And you activated, you accessed, you received everything that was yours. You did what I asked you to do. You finished the race. I don't want to get to heaven and God say, Greg, you did a good job, but here's all the stuff I had for you, and here's what you received. It was available to you, but you didn't receive it. See, I don't want to go after what doesn't belong to me. I don't want you to go after what belongs to somebody else and not you. I want you to have all that your heavenly Father has for you. Did you hear me? And the world will try to pressure you. It'll try to silence you. If the devil can't stop you, he'll try to blur you out of the picture so you blend in like everybody else and you no longer can shine. If you have your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 60 says, arise, shine. King James Version says, arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Your light has come. That the Hebrew word for light has come is literally light has entered in. Did you hear me? Light has entered in. And the glory, which means the abundance of Jehovah, the abundance of God, is breaking out upon you. We're waiting for something to just shine down and just, no, God said, I put it on the inside of you. Did you hear me? He's placed it on the inside of you. See, what happens is God, in the New Testament, it refers to like a seed. God places his nature, his seed in you, and he wants to develop you so that you rise up and become who he's called you to become. Not something you're not called to become. Not someone else. You don't have to imitate somebody else. You don't have to talk like somebody else. Be yourself. You have an identity. You have a uniqueness about you that when you try to imitate other people, you weaken your influence. It takes years of going through grade school and junior high and high school where we begin to try to be like everybody else because when you stand out, you get negative attention. But that thing has so crept into us as adults that we try to match everybody. No. The secret is you be who God's called you to be. But everybody around me is quiet and I'm loud. Still be loud. Because within your identity is your effectiveness.
Yeah. Come on,
man. Within your identity is your effectiveness. You are like a combination to somebody else's lock. God will anoint you with somebody else in mind. You can't reach everybody. You're called to reach somebody. And when you allow God to become number one in your life, that's why the Bible says, the greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Right. You know, if you take a balloon and you fill it with air and you begin to push on it, you can reshape it. And if you keep adding pressure, you can pop it, crush it. And life can do that sometimes. Pressures of life, people's opinions, disappointments, challenges, it can create pressure. And many times, if we're not careful, we'll allow that pressure to reshape us. And if we're under that pressure too long, it will cause us to collapse. But there's something greater because that pressure is not from your Father. Did you hear me? We got to bring some clarity of God's truth to the church of God, because a lot of people say, God will put that on you. God does not give you sickness. All right, let me just get some people mad at me, okay? Poverty under the curse. Sickness under the curse. Cancer, disease under the curse. The Bible says that he was crucified on the cross. Cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. He took the curse upon them so that you wouldn't have to have it. Jesus is the expressed image of the Father. You can't find me a place where Jesus comes to somebody and says, you're healed. Let me pray for you so the cancer comes on you. But you can't find, in Acts 10, it says that he went about doing good, destroying the works of the devil. Did you hear me? Destroy and healing and healing and healing all that were oppressed. Did you hear me? We have to be, we have to look at what the Bible says, not what religion tells us. If you're a guest, I'm not into religion. I define that as man's rules to get to God. And God wants us to have all that he has for us. That's not greed. But religion will creep in and say, no, you don't need to believe for more. You should just stay where you're at. Listen, if it belongs to you, your Heavenly Father wants you to have it.
Yes. Yes.
So you can't find anywhere where Jesus did that to people. Why? Because he destroyed the works of the devil. That's the work of the devil, is sickness. That's the work of the devil, oppression and depression. Oh, God's going to get glory. God doesn't get glory out of that. Well, it'll help me mature for the glory. No. The Word of God matures you.
Yes.
The Word of God matures you. If problems and trials and tribulations improved you or matured you spiritually, then people in Ethiopia should be preaching the gospel around the world because they've gone through more trials and tribulations.
Yep.
Did you hear me? It's the Word and our resolve to stick with the Word regardless of the situation that helps us. Hello.
Yes.
See, it's always interesting to me. People say, well, God will put that cancer on you or that sickness on you so he can get glory, and then they'll go to the doctor. You're fighting God.
Yes.
Well, God will put that poverty on you for his glory. That's not in the Bible. Well, Jesus did ask a rich young ruler to give up everything. Yeah, but let's keep it in context to what was happening. Jesus asked, the Bible we know tells us, that Jesus asked the rich young ruler to sell everything, give it to the poor, and follow me. Are you listening?
Yes.
Because he knew that his money was his God.
Yes.
Jesus can only be, he can't be one of the guys. He's got to be the guy. He's got to be Lord of all and not Lord at all. Yes. And they operate, you got to keep in mind also, they still operating under the old covenant at that time. And under the old covenant, if you give to the Bible, the old covenant says that if you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord and he will repay. So actually, he wasn't taking from him. He was saying, are you willing to lay it down for a season? Follow me and it'll all come back. But he was not. I got to get back to my notes somewhere. I'm telling you, your Heavenly Father has so much for you. We got to learn to rise up. Let's go to the Amplified translation of Isaiah chapter 60. It says, arise. Can we throw that on the screen? Arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. See what happens? The pressure rises, and distorts and tries to shape and push you down, blur you out of the picture. Rise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Rise to a new life. Rise to a new life. Say, there's a new life for me. When Jesus one day said, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. The word indeed means to be set free with a sense of finality. Literally means you're not only released from the trap that held you back, but it also means that the trap that held you has now been crushed, never to be used against you. The word freedom there in the Greek literally means to not only be free from something, it's also to be free to something. Do you see that? So it's we got to keep the context with Jesus saying, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. You're freed from your past, but you're also free to a greater life. Free from sin, free to live for Him. Free. Do you see that? There's a new life. There's a new life. But the enemy will try to push you down and try to force you down and try to make things to blur you out and silence you. So you just try to just stay with what you got. I don't want to rock the boat. I know I'm supposed to do this. I know I'm supposed to have that. But I can't believe that. I'll just stay with what I'm comfortable with. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Your light is breaking out. And the glory of the Lord is rising. It's breaking out upon you. Notice that verse again. Arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Shine. Be radiant with the glory of the Lord. For your light has come and the glory of the Lord is rising, is breaking out. He starts on the inside of you. And you can push that balloon down. And if you're strong enough, you can push it and even pop it. But if you find the right balloon and the pressure on the inside, if it's greater than the outside. Have you ever had maybe one of these big old balls and they blow it up and you're like, oh, no big deal. And you go to push it and you can't even budge it. See, if the pressure on the inside is stronger than the pressure on the outside, you won't budge it. You won't move it. You won't pop it. Did you hear me? The Bible tells me greater is He. Greater. Now, notice the word greater does not give you an absolute. It's like if you're going to go buy a car and you look at that car and say, okay, what's the price? They give it to you. And you say, well, you know what? I really like this red one and not that blue one. How much for this red one? Oh, that's more. Okay, how much more? Oh, it's just more. Well, I'm not going to buy it if you don't tell me how much. See, the dollar gives me a defined parameter. How much is it? Oh, all I can tell you, it's more than that one. Well, I can't even negotiate that. How do you negotiate that? Right? It's more. Say more.
More.
See, that don't give you an absolute. What I'm trying to tell you is that when you understand what God's trying to do in you, that He's in you, that greater is He that is in you than anything around you. So when the doctor gives you a bad report and it feels like the world is collapsing in on you, remind yourself, greater.
Yeah.
What does that look like? It's just greater than.
Yeah.
I just lost my job. I don't know what I'm going to do. Greater.
Yeah.
My friends just turned on me. Greater. Everybody seems like they turned their back on me. Greater. They're talking about me. Greater is He that is in you than anything that would come against you. Greater. There's something greater. There's someone greater. We got to learn to allow that greater to rise up in us. Now, one of the a phrase that came out of this series so far, and I encourage you to write this down. Let me just read it to you. I think this will be a great encouragement in your future besides today. What was designed, are you ready? No? Okay, I'll give you a few seconds. All right, here we go. What was designed to constrain you cannot contain you. Let me say that again. What was designed to constrain you, bring you back, restrict you. What was designed to constrain you cannot contain you. The Bible says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Every word spoken against you in judgment you will condemn. For this is your right, your heritage, your righteousness is of it. What was designed to constrain you cannot contain you. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. What was designed by the enemy to constrain you cannot contain you.
Amen.
See, because we're not only free from our past. You're not only free from your yesterdays and your hang-ups and issues. But Jesus wants you to be free for your tomorrows. Because if you don't understand the importance of this, of allowing the greater one to rise up big in you, if we can't tap into this, then when the enemy comes, John 10:10, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. When he comes with his tactics, when he comes with his opinions from people that you know, the devil never shows up as like a little bean with a pitchfork and a red tail. No, you don't see that. You just see it sometimes in your neighbor. You just might see him in some church people. You might see him in your boss sometimes. You might see him all different directions. He knows how to pull the strings of people. Sometimes even good people can do bad things. And all of a sudden, it comes. It could be disappointment, pressures, problems, unexpected things. And all of a sudden, if we don't know how to allow the greater one to rise up big in us so that the greatness of God's pressure on the inside overrides the opposing pressure on the outside, then not only will we not be able to deal with the past, we'll not be able to step into our future. Because when God says, here's an opportunity for you, step out of the boat. Well, you know, I've never done that before. You know, Lord, I don't know if I can. I'll just stay where I'm at. But Joshua 1:8, God told Joshua, listen, I'm with you just as I was with Moses. I will be with you. No one will be able to stop or withstand you. And let me tell you something, Joshua, this is all I need you to do. I want you to be bold. I want you to be courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Can you get this, Joshua? You don't have to do it. I'll do it, but I need you to do something. How do I get there? He said, meditate on the word, speak the word, read the word day and night. Get it in your heart. Write this down. What you feed grows, what you starve weakens. What you feed grows, what you starve weakens. You will not be able to learn how to tap into the greatness of God on the inside of you if you never get in the word. Well, I came to church 3 weeks ago. That should be good. See, your spirit person is just like your physical person. If you only eat one snack every 3 weeks, you're not going to make it too long. I don't know about you. Forget the days of three meals. Whew, I need six or seven. My wife's always giving me a hard time. It's like clockwork. 2 hours, bam, I'm hungry. I don't know. Just give me some food. Healthy, Krispy Kreme. Yeah. Come on, somebody. I'll do a protein shake after. That way it kind of balances it out. Protein shake with my donuts. I mean, there's something in the mix. But sometimes if all we do is occasionally come to church, occasionally read the Bible, no, you're not feeding your spirit person strong enough. You're not giving them the food to be strong. You got to get the word in you. I'm not telling you how much. I'm just telling you need to get the word in you. You need to pray because these things develop your spirit person to be strong. So when the enemy tries to rise up, it's not you just saying, oh, please. Some people will pray and they only pray when they're in crisis and their prayer is not in faith. Their prayer is in fear. Oh, Jesus. Lord, help me. I don't know what I'm going to do now, Jesus. You're not going to leave me. Lord, Jesus, where are you, Jesus? They're not praying. And they can cry and it's okay to cry when you pray. But it's not okay to pray in fear and expect results. You get results when you have faith. See, the Bible says that part of the armor of God is a shield of faith. Are you listening? That not only stops the fiery darts. Here, the Bible says it even quenches the fire of the darts. See, in those tactical days, you can take, you ever watch, I love the movie Gladiator. You know that first scene? Y'all ever see that movie? No, you don't see. Oh, it's got to be in the history book somewhere. I mean, that's such a great movie. It's like that and Rocky. You know they got to be true. And I just love that intro scene where all of a sudden they just release, you know what I mean? They just open up the gates and they just release these arrows and they're just flying. And it's like a million of them flying. And they hook them up with fire. Why? Because you can miss somebody. You can miss somebody with the arrow, but if you're close enough and get to what they have with fire, you can burn them out. The devil might not be able to hit you, but if he can get close enough to you, burn you out. Burn out all the stuff around you. See, but that's not the plan of your heavenly Father. When the enemy tries to rise up, there's greater is he that is in you. To not only stop the tactics of the enemy that will try to steal, kill, and destroy from your health, from your marriage, from your mindset, from your peace of mind. So I'm talking to somebody today. I'm telling you that you don't have to sit there and be a weak victim letting the devil kick your teeth out and say, I guess I can just endure to the end. He's not saying endure to the end that you're a victim. He's saying greater is he that is in you. Rise up, rise up. Rise up, child of God, into the image that he made you. Rise up and let the greatness of God. He will not only use your faith to stop that dart or arrow, but quench the fire. You know what that fire is? That's all that emotional turmoil. Doctor says, I think I might have saw something on the x-ray, and so I need to meet with you. Okay, when can we meet? It's not looking good, so let's meet in 2 weeks. 2 weeks? And for 2 weeks, you're wondering, oh, Lord. I'm feeling, I think there is something there now. I didn't feel it before, but now the doctor saw it. Yeah, you haven't even seen anything yet. You don't even know what you're dealing with. But all of a sudden, you're planning your funeral. Will you sing for my funeral? Because I think it's not going to be good. I'm feeling it's just, life is just oozing out of me by the second. You've done and buried yourself. See, all that emotional turmoil. All that drama. Nothing's happened yet, but internally, it's a major storm. No. That's not the way it should be. That your faith can quench that fire. So the things that used to rattle you, all of a sudden, it could happen to you. God forbid. God didn't send it. But there's still life you're dealing with. Jesus said, in this life, you're going to deal with trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome. What was he telling you? You can be victorious in this. You're going to have battles. You're going to have battles when the devil's trying to take you out, and you're going to have battles when he's trying to keep you out. But either way, you're going up, you're going forward. When you understand greater is he, be of good cheer. I have overcome, which means that you have victory too. You have victory too. All of a sudden, things used to rattle you. Now you're kind of like, I still see it, but inside I'm not all upset. Wow, I have peace. You know where the scripture comes from? The Bible says that his peace that exceeds your understanding and the peace of God which exceeds your understanding will keep your heart and mind. Lord, I know I'm on the right path. There's people screaming. There's devils going crazy. There's problems. There's disappointments. But Lord, on the inside, it's not rocking my world today like it did yesterday. Something's different. Greatness of God is rising up in you. Now you're not hiding like the soldiers did and the king. Now you're becoming more like David and said, let's take this guy. Let's take this guy. Let's take this guy. It's like the joke I've shared many times talking about a robber that comes into a house late at night and in the darkness of the night and his flashlight, and he's putting everything he can that's valuable into a bag. And in the silence and the darkness of that night, he hears this small voice that says, Jesus is going to get you. Being startled by anybody's sound and voice, he turns around and looks with his flashlight, seeing nobody. He thinks it must be just my imagination. He begins to do it, put more stuff in the bag, and he hears this voice again in the silence of the moment. Jesus is going to get you. He turns around, and his flashlight comes across the parrot as he sees the parrot say one more time, Jesus is going to get you. And he gets angry. The parrot walks over to the cage and says, you stupid parrot. Man, you startled me. I ought to kill you right here. And as he's talking to the parrot, he feels something come right next to him. And he glances down, coming down the hallway, this 150-pound pit bull. Hair on the back of his neck up. Ears, teeth, saliva. And the parrot says, sick him, Jesus. See, we got to learn how to tap into this thing so we don't run from the devil. So you can rise up and say, sick him, Jesus. Sick him, Jesus. It's like that one person coming up to his pastor and said, Pastor, how are you doing this week? Oh, I've had the devil on the run this week. Well, good. No, he's been chasing me. No, you don't be running from the devil. Rise up. Greater is he that is in you. You are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. This is the victory, 1 John 5, that overcomes the world, even your faith. See, you're more than a conqueror. You know what more than a conqueror is? If you're into boxing and you watch these type of sports, and these guys, they'll train. I mean, they'll be in the gym. They'll isolate themselves from their family those last few weeks before a big fight, and they'll train. I mean, they'll spar. They'll lift weights. They'll run. I mean, the whole nine yards. They have to go so far physically to get their endurance up, to get their skill level up so they can get into the match. And then the day of the big fight, they get there, they got to get mentally prepared, they got to physically prepare, they got to be emotionally prepared, they got to be ready to battle. And they'll get in there, and they'll fight. and they'll swing, and they'll hit, and they'll take hits, and they'll give the hits. And when it's all said and done, if it's a really good fight, both sides will be bloody and swollen. Come on, somebody. It's no good when it's a 30-second knockout. You know what I mean? You got to see some fighting. Some sweat and tears going on. Back to Rocky. Cut me, Mick. I mean, you got to just kind of have all these great moments of sports. Some of you are like, what? Don't worry about it. And so he fights and gives everything, leaving nothing in the ring. And he wins. He goes home. He walks in the front door. He's the conqueror. He's excited about his victory. He's proud to tell his wife, I won. He walks in and puts his arm around his wife and said, baby, we did it. I won. And she says, great, baby, where's the check? He's the conqueror. She's more than a conqueror. He went to battle. She's reaping the rewards. She didn't ever change her diet, never isolated herself, never took a punch, never threw a punch, never ran a mile, but enjoys the reward. The reward. From the reward from that covenant relationship. Do you hear me? You're swinging at something you don't have to swing at. You have authority. You have authority. You say, I don't have enough power against the devil. You don't have the power to beat the devil. You don't need the power to beat the devil. You have something greater. You have authority. And that authority accesses his power. See, a police officer can get in the street and he hold up his hand and say, stop, and you got to pull over. But the police officer never has the power to force you to pull over. Are you kidding? I don't care how strong he or she may be. That car of yours is heavier, stronger, and can go right over him, God forbid. When you match it up power for power, the car is more powerful than the person. But when you match it up by authority, you pull it over. Why? Not because the police officer has the power, because the police officer has the authority. What am I trying to tell you? Some of us have been fighting this fight all wrong. We're trying to do it in our power. And God said, listen, I'm the one with all the power. I've given you authority. Jesus told the disciples, you go out there and you preach the gospel. You cast out devils. You heal the sick. In my name, which means in my authority. It doesn't mean you feel it emotionally. Sometimes the greatest miracles you'll see, the greatest things God will do through your life is when you don't feel even saved emotionally. Let me just throw this at you. When you begin to fight in the realm of emotion, you're going to lose. I'm just not feeling any goosebumps. I don't know if the Lord's with me. Hey. You operate by faith, which means you're not moved by what you feel, hear, or see. You're moved by the word of God. If Jesus said it, it is so. But I don't feel, put your feelings aside. Those things will come and they'll go. There's times you're going to feel like a cloud nine euphoric. You can take the devil and, oh, I feel so spiritual. And there's times you're not going to feel safe, but that don't make any difference to you. Did you hear me? You're a child of God with authority. This is a little different than the first service, but it's good. Arise, shine, for your light has come. You have authority. Say, I have authority.
I have authority.
Say, I have authority.
I have authority.
Wow, this is good. When you go right, when the devil starts whispering in your ear and tells you, I'm going to kill you, you ought to laugh at him. But what if he's telling me the truth? Well, let me think. Let's go to the word of God. Jesus said that the devil is a liar. Yeah. Hang on. The father of all lies. And there's no truth in him. So when the devil whispers in your ear, I'm going to kill you now, you ought to laugh and say, thank you, devil, for the confirmation that I'm going to make it because you're a liar and the opposite must be true. They all hate you. I'm about to win a war. I bet they're all voting for me right now because the devil's tactical. He's mean. If he was going to kill you, he wouldn't tell you till you're already dead. He's not going to give you a chance to get up off the mat. Right? So when he tells you, it's over for you, it's too late, It's all gone. You might as well buy it. You'll never have it now. If you were going to have it, you would have had it then. You would have had it years ago. God just don't want you to be healed. God don't want you to have that. It'll never happen for you. You ought to rise up and say, thank you, devil, for confirming to me what I really saw in the Word of God, and I should have picked it up by faith. But now you just confirmed to me that I will have it, that I will get there, I will do that. It's still available to me. And you say, but it's been 40 years. Why doesn't it happen already? I only have a few years left. God can still do a quick work, and he can do in a moment what you couldn't do in 100 years. You ought to get excited. Well, thank you, devil. You just kind of helping me just reaffirm my faith that I am on the right track. Because I'll not be moved by what I feel here. See, I'm moved by the Word of God. 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 Just this week, I came into the office and we were working. It was a busy day. I'm the A-type, I guess, temperament, personality. I like things getting done. You know, just sitting around hanging, that's not my rhythm. I'm like, we got to get deals done. We got to get things done. We got to make things happen. Let's run. If we're not running full steam, it makes me nervous. So it was a good day. Things are happening. Things are getting done. Decisions being made. People are moving. Everything's going great. I mean, it was like the morning went by, bam, and it was like lunchtime, and I'm like, man, this is a fast day. I love this day. And all of a sudden, I ran some errands to go get some food for lunch and go home. On the way, I got a phone call. Be careful. Because sometimes the enemy will try to come through avenues. You know, Proverbs tells us to guard our hearts. I learned this the hard way and learned this many years ago from my dad. Guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. Rodney Howard Brown would say it this way. Our skin needs to be really thick when it comes to people talking about us, but very thin when it comes to the leading of the Holy Spirit. You got to find that balance. Because if you go to either extreme, you'll get really messed up. If you're just totally sensitive to everything, people are going to smack you around and you're going to be crushed. If all of a sudden you toughen up and now you're hard toward everything, you'll miss when the Spirit of God will whisper and say, why don't we do this? We got to find that balance. And this day I got this phone call from this individual, and nobody's business, it's just my business, but I'll just tell you what happened. And it was one of those things, I'm seeing, I know them, they're kind of like close to me, and all of a sudden, even, you know, the devil can use good people. You know what I mean? Sometimes some good people can do stupid things. Can I get an amen? And they just begin to rail on me. I mean, just talk about toxic. And I was like, wait. Totally, I was in a whole different other ballpark. But you know, when somebody, and this is how I found, this is how I recognize it. When it begins to become an extreme thing, I'm telling you, there's always a spiritual connection to it on either side. And it wasn't so much just what was said, but just the way it hit my spirit. I go, no, wait a minute, this is unacceptable. I closed the I clarified some things, and I closed the conversation down. You don't have to be someone's trash can. You can't let people speak doubt and negative stuff in you. I mean, I was expecting to have a good conversation. All of a sudden, they begin to speak doubt and negative. And just, I'm like, wait, what? Why are you talking about me? I didn't ask your opinion about me. You don't like me? God bless you. Pray for me. Right? It's like, if you really believe in prayer, if you don't like me, pray for me. You don't have to tell me. I mean, if I asked you, hey, I need your opinion on something, I'm thick skinned, tell me, I want to hear it. That's one thing, but to call me out of the blue and say, by the way, wait. But it hit my spirit, and I was a little frustrated with myself for not having a guard up. But sometimes we just put guards down for people we just expect. We think we know where they're going. And so I was like, oh my gosh, I'm dealing with that. I'm shaking this stuff off. I closed that conversation down. I'm shaking this off. I'm not going to let this bother me, but it hit me. We can all be this way. It hit me in a certain way. And I come back to the office after lunch, and I'm going to the portico to get a cup of coffee. That's always a good prayer, the word, and a cup of coffee. Something about that. Some of them mix. But anyway, as I walk in, there is one of the ladies who volunteers around here, and she was making the CDs. And we have a dear lady. She volunteers. She comes in every week. She copies these CDs for you, writes on them, and prays over them. Amen. And she's done this for a long time. Those things are anointed. She's praying for you. The moment you grab it, then you'll receive and be blessed. And I said, hey, good to see you. And she said, hi, how you doing, Pastor? And I walked in, and I'm like getting a cup of coffee. And I said, is there anything I can do for you? And she said, Pastor, will you pray for me? She said, I have been in pain in my back for 10 years. I have been going to a pain management doctor every 6 weeks, and now it's every 4 weeks to get a shot in my spine. I have a disc in my back, she says, that needs to be, what's the word I'm looking for? Fused together. She said, my doctor says, I'm no longer giving you any more shots, that they don't work anymore. You need to have surgery. She goes, like, another doctor says, absolutely not. She goes, I'm praying that God does something because I am in constant pain. She said, will you pray for me? And I said, sure. My head's saying, I don't feel like it. My emotions are like, yeah, I don't feel anything. Are you listening to me? I'm just being real with you. The pulpit has to learn to be transparent to the people so that you know this is life and how to deal with it. But something in my spirit said, go pray with her. I said, let me pray with you now. So we reached over and I started praying for her. And I could feel the anointing of God stirring up on the inside of me. And I began to pray for her. All of a sudden, the power of God hit her. And the presence of God filled the room. It was, I'll just say it this way, for lack of not having a good word articulated. It was just one of those crazy moments. You're like, whoa. She got healed. She got blessed. She started getting on her knees. She started twisting. She started bending. She goes, I couldn't do this. She's bending down. And I mean, this went on. She's crying. She's laughing. She's blessed. She goes, I've never felt anything like this. She goes, I have no pain. And she's twisting and picking up stuff. And things. I mean, it's like, and she started just demonstrating. I said, tell me what it, she goes, I just feel this warmth and this tingle. She goes, I've never felt anything like this. This is amazing. She goes, I don't even know what to do. I feel so energetic. I can't even sit still. And I don't know what to do next. And she's just beginning to thank the Lord and praise the Lord. And she's being healed and I'm being blessed and she's being blessed and I'm being blessed. And she, wait, and it all started from someone who needed prayer and someone who at that moment was just having a bad day. But greater is he. Greater is he. Greater is he that is in you. Healed by the power of God. See, we can't wait for how we feel to determine who we are or what we can do. You have authority. You have authority. And no, don't come up to me afterward and say, who was that? Who called you? Don't worry about that. That's between them and Jesus. But I want you to understand, Jesus said, in this world, we're going to have challenges. But be of good cheer. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The things the enemy is designed to constrain you cannot contain you. Your days of tomorrow are so much brighter than your days of yesterday. Yes. And everything that's been purchased by the blood of Jesus for you is still available. The gifts and callings of God. Some of you right now are wondering, oh, I used to operate in these gifts. I wonder if God, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Get back to the first love. Get back to the first work. Get back to doing what God told you to do before that the devil talked you out of because of life. Great things are ahead of you. Amen.
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand clap. Of praise to God.